You know, it seems like people want to be successful in life. And, you know, there is some old sayings that they're kind of funny. Behind every successful man is a surprised mother-in-law. Hey, that may be more true than you think. There's one person that said, I dream of a world where success comes without deadlines. Another one said, the secret to success is pretending like you know what you're doing until no one questions. Then another person said, some succeed with talent, others use WD-40 and duct tape. Now, you may have met somebody, but I have never met anybody that didn't want to be successful, myself. Now, we're going to talk about success tonight and mostly the biblical success, but the things that I talk about tonight can also, some of it can also be used in the natural sense. And, you know, there's two ways to get success. Go with the world's definition of success, or look in the Bible and find definition for success in the Bible. Now, Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. The NLT says that same scripture, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Now, the Voice translation says, let the words from the book of the law be always on your lips. Meditate on them day and night, so that you may be careful to live by all that's written in them. If you do, as you make your way through this world, you will prosper and always find success. So actually, the context of this scripture is God giving Joshua, there in the first chapter of Joshua, he tells him, he says, okay, Moses is dead, now you take over and you take these people into the promised land. And he gave this instruction of how to be successful in leading the children of Israel. Now, this verse, God wants us to be successful. He says so right here in this verse. If he didn't want us to be successful, then he wouldn't have said, if you follow what the Word of God says, you'll be successful. Now, biblical success means doing what God said to do. It means being obedient to God's word. If you're doing what God told you to do, you can be successful. Success means you're on a journey that God has for you. Now, we're talking about the biblical side, but on the natural side, you're successful when you follow the rules of the job that you're working on, whatever it is. We're actually on a journey through life in everything that we do. But, if you're with God, on this journey with God, we want to reach our destination. When you start out on a journey, you want to reach the destination. Successful people travel and reach their destination. And as Christians, our ultimate destination is heaven. But reaching heaven is the ultimate success for every Christian. Along this journey, as we live down here on our way, there is before we get to that final destination, there is many things that we do. And, one thing is we grow spiritually to a new level. Now, taking this to the other side, in our natural life, if we want to go up the ladder, so to speak, in our natural job, then you have to grow to go up to another level. Many people, they stay at their same level because they never go and learn how to be, to do so, to move up to the next level. You know, serving God in some capacity makes you successful with God. You know, another area that you need to be successful in on the spiritual side is gaining victory over some areas of your life. Another thing is to accomplish some goals and tasks. Now, you can do this both naturally and spiritually. We need, and just like they said, we need people to help us to put camp meeting on, and you can help us accomplish that goal. You know, in learning skills and talents will help you both in the spiritual and in the natural side. There's some people say, well, I'd like to be a teacher in one of the, like a Sunday school class or some kind of Bible study or something. Well, have you done anything to make yourself to be able to be a speaker in front of people? You know, this is funny, but it's the truth. We have, and I have Brother Bill over here. Of course, Tad's the dean of Rhema Bible College. He's in Kenya, and if you wonder where Craig's been in Nigeria for 2 weeks now preaching on. He said he's preached every day, sometimes twice a day, and he texts me and said, "Oh, I get a couple of days off." But you got a lot of, and they take, you know, a class to be an itinerant speaker or a pastor, you know, and when you're in those classes, you have to get up in front of the congregation, in front of your classmates, and give a message. And some of them say, "Oh, I can't do that," and some people just refuse to do it, and they can't pass the class. Why in the world, if you can't get up and talk in front of people, you better find some other way that you can help to serve God, okay? But learn some things. You can learn how to do public speaking. All you got to do, you can go right over here to community college and you can take courses on how to call speech 101. I had it. I've had speech and a lot of other things in school. You know, actually, being successful is fulfilling your purpose in life. You know, biblical success means conducting yourself in such a way that you will reach your destination. In other words, reach the destinations that God has for you, whatever it is. And our final destination, of course, is heaven. Now, let's look at some things here that we need to do. Number one, keep the Word of God in front of you day and night. That's what our text said. We read it there. You know, largely, your success centers around how much you're in the Word of God. Now, that doesn't mean you have to spend 24 hours a day in the Word of God, but you do need to spend some time every day in the Word of God. And then sometimes if you're driving and doing other things, you can do what we call meditate on them. Think about the scriptures daily. You know, sometimes as I'm driving, I've been thinking about, I read a scripture, I'm thinking, because I'm thinking about messages that I have to preach. And so I begin to just mull that scripture over and over and think about it, read it over. And you know, actually, if you will begin to look at that scripture and read it over and over again, even to get to the point that you can maybe have it memorized, did you know after a while you begin to see different things that you could go with? That's why he says keep it in front of you all the time. Actually, the Word of God is our roadmap to success. Now, this new generation don't know nothing about a roadmap. All they know about is to go on that their device and plug it in. And how many of you remember when we wanted to go somewhere, we stopped at the service station and we got a map and unfolded it. And when you go into a city, you could get a map that had the city streets on it, and you could finally figure out where you had to go. Nowadays, you just plug it in there. I sometimes am riding with some people, you know, like we go on when we're on one of our conferences, our faith conferences. Well, I get in the car and they drive and they plug it in, you know. Well, the next day we're driving and they plug it in again. And I say, well, all you got to do is go down here this right. We turn right. And when we get down there at that signal light, we turn right. And then about 2 or 3 miles down, we're going to make a left turn. And they say, how do you know that? I said, when I learned to drive, that's the way you had to do it. You had to learn the different things. Now, like, I could go, I grew up in the Dallas area, down in Dallas, Texas area. I grew up in Garland, which is a big part of Dallas now. And I could go anywhere. Now I can't because they've changed everything up and the streets, some of the streets they've done away with. But I pay attention to things. You know, if I know I've got to turn, okay, there's some kind of store. Okay, that's where I turn. You know, you do that. See, we need to learn to look at the Word of God and begin to look at it and say, okay, this is what I got to do here, and this is what I got to do here, and this is what I got to do here. Help me understand what I'm saying. Anybody getting anything what I'm saying? Okay. As long as you operate according to the Word of God, you're going to find strength and help. You know, We talk about having strong faith, but you can't have strong faith unless you've been in the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. We've heard it 1,000 times. So that's why you keep the Word of God in front of you. Now, you know, some people, if you have a problem, discipline yourself, then set a program where you read and study the Word of God. Set a program and do it like you do. I know many, many people, they have a regimen because they get up every morning and they go for a run, or they go for a 2 or 3 mile walk, or they go to the gym and they work out. That is what they do. You've got to do the same thing with the Word of God. You got to set a certain time that you actually get, and just like you do everything else. Just like everybody that has a job, they have a time they're supposed to be there at work. Well, set a time when you read the Bible. Now, you got to know your purpose, I said a while ago. Acts 26, 16, and this is the voice of God talking to Paul after he'd been struck down on the Damascus Road. But rise, stand on your feet, for I've appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both to the things which you have seen and the things which I will reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I've sent you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inherit an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Now, Paul had a purpose. He stayed focused on that purpose. And he didn't let anything keep him from doing what he was supposed to do. At one time, everybody was telling him, oh, you got problem in front of you going to Jerusalem. He said, I'm going anyway. That was his purpose. He knew what his purpose was. He said, I've kept, at the end of his life, he said, I've kept the faith. I've run the course. And it's all over. You can't be everything, but you can be something. My dad used to say, son, don't try to be a jack of all trades. He said, find out what you do, and then surround yourself with people, because that's what he's talking to me about being in the ministry. Surround yourself with people that can help you in the ministry, that does things that's not really your talent or your calling. If you ever look at our pastoral staff, they're all different, and they all got different talents, and they all put into the church and into the ministry, and therefore everything gets accomplished. Hello. You know, over the years, people wanted me to do many things with Rhema Bible College. I mean, they tell you, you should do this, and you should do that, and you should do something else. And I look at them and I say, but that's not our purpose. In fact, somebody said to me here a while back, they said, they're doing this over here at this church. I said, okay, that's fine. But that's not what we do. That's what they do, fine. Praise the Lord. You see, you've got to find your purpose in life and go after it. Hello. And now somebody said, well, but I'm not called to be a pulpit minister. Well, you can be in ministry of what they call the ministry of helps. It's listed with 1 Corinthians right along with pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophet. It's listed right there, the ministry of helps. What is that? That's somebody that has they got a job, but they come and they volunteer time in the church. That's their ministry, the ministry of helps. That's what we're asking you to do it for camp meeting. Now, you know, as you look at what you're doing, you have to know why you're doing something in order to accomplish it effectively. If you don't know why you're doing something, you won't put your whole self into it. You just half-heartedly slop around, you know. But if you know what your purpose is, then you go after it. You know, somebody asked me one time and said, what is your purpose in life? I said, my purpose in life is to follow what God's told me to do, and that's to be the best minister that I can be and to help as many people as I can. Hello. If somebody asked you, can you give a definitive answer of what your purpose is? See, learn to focus on specifics, not generalities. Write down your purpose. That'll help you stay focused and not get distracted. Now, another thing you need to do, if you're going to be successful in the spiritual and the natural, you have to realize that God's on your side, no matter what. Romans 8:31, we all know it. If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Okay? We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, the greater one, and he's there to help us in anything. Number two, we have the promises in the Word of God. Now, for 2 Peter 1:3, but by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous, glorious grace. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desire. You level your opposition by believing what the Word says. You look at it. We have all of these promises. Now, you know, there is nothing that is a match for the Word of God when you speak it from your mouth and believe it in your heart. Now, there's a lot of people that say some things out of their mouth, but they don't really believe it. Oh, it's quiet in here. I hope y'all are getting something out of this. Amen. Keep speaking the word of God. It's the word of God that created everything we see. And the word of God, in fact, I preached a message, some of y'all might remember it, create the world you want to see or the world you want to live in. You create that by saying what the word of God says. You know, now, let's look at something else you have to be successful. You have gifts and talents. Identify those. Those are given to you by God. They are indicators of the path that he wants you to take. Now, you need to dedicate those talents and gifts for the glory of God. Now, you're not going to see me up here singing. That ain't my talent. But I've been able to talk all my life. My mother said I started walking and talking when I was 9 months old, and you hadn't shut up since. That's what my mom used to say. But I've never had any, in the first grade, Miss Fowler, she said, Kenneth, you're so different. Said, I can call on you. You get up front. You talk to anybody. You come up here and you can talk about the subject we've been talking about. You come up here and you talk about it, what you read. Said, the rest of them, I'm scared to death, won't get up here. That's just been me, okay? So, when God called me to preach, I didn't have no problem with it. I know how to talk. You know, if you're going to be up here, you got to say something, okay? But, you know, develop the talents that you have. So, as I was, you know, in the first, second, third grade, I was in plays and stuff. In high school, I was in, you know, took speech and all that. And I took public speaking in college and all that. Because if I'm going to be a minister, then I need to learn something about public speaking. Hello. I'm talking about developing your talents. If you got a talent in music or talented, some people are just really talented in music. Some musicians can pick up any instrument and start and play it. Well, develop those things and then use them for your own benefit and then use them for God. Hello, come on now. Now, we all have strengths and we all have weaknesses. Ephesians 6:10 says the final word, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord includes strong in your talents and gifts he's created you with. Develop your strengths. Manage your weaknesses. Don't, you know, my dad used to say this. He'd tell kids this and tell people this and ministers. They get up and people get up and say, well, we're going to try to sing this song for you. Y'all pray for us. Well, right there, you're already telling the congregation that you ain't no good anyway. You know, manage your weakness. I've been in places where I had a little bit of nervousness, but I didn't let them know it. I got up there and stood up there and began to speak like I knew what I was doing, and half the time I didn't sometimes. But what I'm trying to tell you is, my dad used to say this, play to your strengths, not your weaknesses. He said, always go to the positive, never the negative. Now, you know, God wants us to be successful in spiritual things, in natural things. You know, I like to talk to y'all on Wednesday night, just like I'd sit down and talk to some people. Just like I'd sit down and talk to you about stuff. You know, now, some people say, well, I'm handicapped. Well, take advantage of your handicaps. Sometimes what we think God can't use and it's a handicap, is not a handicap. Now let's look at old Peter. When you study Peter, he was brash. He was bold. He was a speak before you think person. He might have had foot and mouth disease. When the soldiers come to take Jesus, he grabbed a sword and cut a guy's ear off. I mean, but that boldness came to play in the day of Pentecost when he stood up and he preached that message there in Acts 2, you know, and throughout the book of Acts, he was a major player. In fact, if you study the book of Acts, you'll find out that the first part has to deal with Peter and the second part deals with Paul. And that's the way it is. Now, let's contrast some differences here. Peter was an uneducated fisherman. But he was bold. And remember at the gate called Beautiful, he looked down at that man and he said, I don't have any money for you. I don't have any gold or silver, but hey, such as I have, give I you. Now that was him. But you notice you go with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a very learned individual. He studied at the University of Tarsus, they say. I'm reading what they tell. They say that he may even sit at the feet of the great Rabbi Gamaliel. It's not listed, but they think that possibly he was a part of the Sanhedrin at one time because he said, I'm a Pharisee. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. In other words, he was up there. He was very elegant with his speaking, and yet he was able to be the greatest missionary that the world has ever known because of his talents. Everybody has talents. Everybody has assets, we might call them. So learn your assets, work with them to help you to accomplish what you need to accomplish in life and in your spiritual life. Now, let's look at something else here real quickly. Develop a sense of timing. Ecclesiastes 3:1, and then we drop down to verse 11. Verse 1 says, to everything there's a season, there's a time for every purpose under heaven. And then 11 said, he made everything beautiful in its time. The NLT says, for everything there's a season, a time for every activity under heaven. And then 11 says, yet God has made everything beautiful in its own time. You may know what to do, but the important thing is when to do it. Hello? A farmer must not only know what to do, but when to do it. There is a time that you go out and you prepare the field, and then you plant the seed. My grandpa didn't go out there in the middle of January with his ice or snow on the ground and try to hire up the field. He waited till the spring started to come on. Then he went out and he might go over that field a couple, three times with the harrow and so forth. Then he'd say, okay, it's planting time. And see, he knew what to do, but he waited for the when. Some people know what to do and they jump right out and try to do it. Sometimes you get ahead of God doing that. A large part of success is being in the right place at the right time. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us to lead us and to guide us. Hello? I've told you my story all the time about I was working, going to Bible school, working the freight dock, and the old foreman come by hollering, can you do such and such? Can you do such and such? And they all told him no, and there was two carloads of us that was working together. We called breakout boys, breaking out freight. And he asked me, and I said, yeah, I can, Sims. One old boy said, you don't know nothing about that. I say, I may not know a whole lot about it, but I know something about it. And besides that, by the time I get here tomorrow afternoon, I won't be able to do that job. We didn't have no internet back then, but I had a library at the school. And I had a buddy that I could call that did some of the what he wanted me to do. You know, so the thing about it is, you sometimes you got to be at the right place at the right time. Lynette and I, years and years and years ago, we were in Nashville, and we was doing you can buy those tours and get on the bus, and they take you all around. So, well, they took us to a recording studio, and the guy was telling us all about it. And then he said, "Do you realize that right here in this city, they are better musicians than are traveling with some of the known musicians? They're better singers than some of these that are at the top. They just never have been at the right place at the right time to be discovered." Well, if you stay in the Word of God and stay in tune with the Holy Spirit, He can put you at the right place at the right time for success, both naturally and spiritually. Hello. Now, you know, whatever you do, do it with all your heart. It's 8 o'clock. Can I take a couple more minutes and finish? Is that all right with everybody? If it's not, I'm going to do it anyway. Whatever you do, do it with everything you got or all your heart. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord your Christ. Now, I'll go ahead and read it anyway. NLT says, work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you that inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. You know, that's something that, you know me. I do it with everything I got, or I don't do it at all, because that's what my dad told me to do. He said, son, it don't make any difference what it is, work, preaching, playing sports, whatever you do, give it all you got or don't do it at all. I had one of my coaches told me one time, he said, Hagin, you know why you get in the game, you play? I said, not really, coach. He said, well, so-and-so over there, he's a whole lot better than you are. But said, I can't depend on him. I don't know what he's going to, but said, I can depend on you. When you step across that line on that field, you're going to give me everything you got. And when you come off the field, you leave it all on the field. He said, that's why you play, because you give me 100%. You know, that's what we got to do in life. You can't hold back. You got to give it all you got. And you know what? If you'll live life like that, spiritually and naturally, when you come to the end, you can look back with no regrets. You know, you got to be successful. If you're going to be successful, let me say it this way. You got to know what to do in the natural. You got to know what to do in the natural. And what is not what I say all the time? The natural and the supernatural working together, making explosives force for God. It's not all natural and it's not all spiritual. You can be successful in the natural, but bring the spiritual in. But in the spiritual, on this side, you got the natural. You're a two-track person. You're a spiritual person, a natural person at the same time. When you learn how to work with both of them at the same time, you're going to be success. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. I've tried to encourage these people just to give them some information that can help them to be successful in their life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Everybody stand. Anybody get anything tonight? I trust you did. And I took 3 minutes, okay? So now I don't promise to give it back either. If you happen to be with us tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you can know Him before you leave here. Or if you know what it is to serve Him, but you sort of messed up and you detoured and you need to rededicate your life, the ladies are over here, the men are over here. As we're dismissed, come down here, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. If you need prayer, for any reason, you want somebody to pray with you about something, you come down here and they'll pray with you about that situation. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, you can come and receive that. Praise the Lord. Well, I trust you received something. Turn around to somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I'm going to be successful. And Sunday morning right here, 10 o'clock, come expecting, come believing. God bless.